It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. Today in your health, dropping pounds when you're overweight may be contagious to those around you. We'll hear the evidence in a moment. First, spicy foods may be good for your heart. New studies are showing some spices, like those used in dishes from the Indian subcontinent, can cut the risk of diabetes and heart disease. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports.
If you think that just a little dash of the traditional Indian spice turmeric can go a long way, as I once did, you've likely never had it prepared for you in the way Poonam Dhingra learned from her mother.
Let me tell you something. You have to really use a lot of turmeric. And I think it's very healthy. That's what it is.
Even at breakfast, when she'd add it to a chickpea dish, or use it to prepare a turmeric milk, which she's making now.
How many teaspoons do you think are here in this little dish?
I would say about 5.
So Indians are not afraid to use turmeric?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. This is like a second nature to us.
Dhingra owns an Indian restaurant called Mihak just around the corner from NPR. And when she invited me to try this milk, I was curious.
And we're going to put some sugar and you just mix it well and make sure the milk is warm and stir it and drink it.
Dhingra says her mother would make this milk when she was sick or had a cut. In her house, this was considered medicine.
Does this bring back a taste of childhood?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And when I take a sip of this warm turmeric milk,
wow.
It has a lot of pungent.
Very pungent. You know, I was afraid to take so much of it. I thought it would be really strong. Mm. But it's
sugar, it actually, or honey, if you have the honey.
Yeah, I'm really shocked. I thought that this would be really overwhelming, and instead it's just sort of a nice sort of aromatic milk.
Yes, definitely.
What I notice as the residue of milk paints my mouth is a sort of subtle tingling sensation. What Dhingra experiences is a taste of health.
And I think our parents or our ancestors definitely knew about it, that it what came good of it.
So how does this super spiced turmeric drink fit with what researchers are learning about the health benefits of spices? Well, it turns out the amount of spice may be significant. When Dhingra showed us how easy it is to use 2 teaspoons of spice, this is how much researchers used in a recent study to evaluate turmeric and a blend of other spices' effect on the cardiovascular system. Sheila West of Penn State is the author.
Spices are of great interest to consumers, and a lot of claims are made about their health-enhancing effects.
But West says the rigorous trials doctors rely upon to nail down the evidence are just starting to happen. For her study, she recruited a bunch of people who agreed to eat several specially prepared meals and then have their blood drawn so researchers could analyze cholesterol, triglycerides, and insulin counts.
We created a meal that had 3 different components to it.
On the first night, the volunteers dined on a fairly high-fat chicken entree served with bread and a dessert biscuit, all of which was prepared with no spice at all.
It was palatable, but it was a bit bland.
On the next occasion, the same diners ate the same meal, except this time all 3 dishes were prepared with lots of spices, a blend that included turmeric, cloves, ginger, rosemary, and cinnamon. And West says what she found came as a big surprise.
Elevated triglycerides are a risk factor for heart disease, and what we showed is that when you had the spices included in the high-fat meal, the triglyceride response was reduced by about a third. And it was surprising in magnitude, that's for sure. I guess I just didn't expect such a large decrease.
When cardiologist Ravi Dave of UCLA Medical School looked at West's findings, he too was impressed. He points out the researchers also found a significant effect on insulin response, with levels decreasing about 20%.
To me, the biggest advantage is that lowering triglycerides and the insulin levels also lowers the risk of metabolic syndrome, which is a precursor to diabetes and a significant risk factor for heart disease.
Dave says it's not clear whether these benefits of highly spiced meals lead to a long-term effect. He says as traditional healing methods are evaluated using modern scientific methods, more research is needed to nail down which blend of spices at what levels may be therapeutic.
What we have is more emerging data on the benefits of spices. So I'm really excited.
The challenge, Dave says, may be to get more Americans habituated to a little more kick in their curry. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
Now to an uproar about lean, finely textured beef. That's the official name. It's known by detractors as pink slime. It's a product made from leftover meat trimmings that are treated with chemicals, namely ammonia, and then added to hamburger. And recent reports show that the USDA buys millions of pounds of the product for school lunches. The practice has come under sharp critique by the celebrity chef and food activist Jamie Oliver on his TV show. He calls it shocking.
In America, they've come up with a piece of technology that can turn this into something that ends up in your school food?
Pink slime is allowed in any school in America.
Well, now thousands of people have added their names to online petitions raising safety concerns and calling on the government to stop buying ground beef that includes the questionable product. For more, we're joined by New York Times investigative reporter Michael Moss, who won a Pulitzer for his reporting on the dangers of contaminated meat. Michael, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
This term pink slime, I gather, was sort of introduced widely to the public in one of your reports. What are we talking about when we're talking about pink slime?
So this is a mash-like material that's derived from trimmings from the beef carcass. And they happen to be the fattiest part of the cow. And so they're put into a centrifuge which spits out the protein parts of the material. It has a rather bright pink hue and an aqueous type nature to it, and thus the term pink slime was used by an USDA official who had seen it in the processing plant.
And the benefit of it is that it's cheap, right? I mean, that's why people use it.
Yeah, in the art of formulating ground beef, there's something called least cost formulations, and companies will, mix and match trimmings from different parts of the cow and different suppliers to achieve kind of the perfect level of fatness. And this material has the attribute of being slightly less expensive than the low-fat material that's typically derived from grass-fed cows from South America.
Now, that brings us to the ammonia. Why is that added? What does it do?
Well, because this material is derived from the outermost part of the carcass, it's most susceptible to E. coli, which is the pathogen that gets onto beef through excrement, which is on the hides of cows. And they came up with this method that consists of adding a gaseous ammonia to the material that raises the alkalinity to a point that makes the material inhospitable to the E. coli pathogens.
And what about that? First, does it work? And second, what about the ammonia gas itself? Is that harmful?
So the gas itself is approved by the federal government as being entirely safe. The safety question caught my attention because it was none other than the school food officials who were testing the material irregularly who found that on numerous occasions, in fact, they were finding E. coli 0157H there when they were least expecting it because of the ammonia process. The company says that it has a rigorous testing program that goes beyond the federal government standards, but still it was there, and there's some question about how foolproof that is.
We recently saw that McDonald's and Taco Bell and Burger King have all said they're not going to be using this anymore in their hamburgers and other products. Was that specifically because of these safety concerns, or was it just public relations?
I think their public statements were more like we had, reformulated and found other sourcing material for our burgers. So they didn't comment directly on, either the safety concern or the wholesomeness issue that surrounds the material.
I'm looking at a statement from the American Meat Institute, which says that this, what they call boneless lean beef trimmings, is in fact beef, and that the USDA has said this is safe and you're abiding by our rules. Are they right about that?
Well, when I was doing the original reporting, one of a beef industry consultant who was working with the producer of this material, sort of pointed out that look, I mean, on one hand, I think they deserve some applause for using parts of the carcass that, heretofore were going into cooking oil or pet food and actually turning into something that's consumable. So that certainly is one viewpoint out there. And as we mentioned, it's entirely approved by the USDA and up to this point accepted by school lunch officials as a component in the ground beef that they purchase.
Michael Moss is working on a book about the processed food industry. Michael, thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.
And if you're curious how to avoid what's called pink slime, you can read about it at our food blog, The Salt, at npr.org.